Monster Man, Episode 505, Antloid, Desert. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the Monsters of Athas, the post-apocalyptic fantasy world which is home to the Dark Sun campaign setting for D&D. We've already looked at the Animals, Domestic and Animals, Herd of Athas, and today we're going to look at some more traditional antagonist kind of monsters. But first, it's time to do a little business. That means welcoming a new Patreon supporter. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get a subscription to my other podcast, Patron Deities. Patron Deities is a show about the mythology and religion of the world and finding inspiration in it for fantasy role-playing games. Right now, we're between seasons. We finished up a series on Haitian voodoo. We're going to do a new series about the religion of the Phoenicians. But between those, I am taking listener requests and doing one-shot episodes about all kinds of different topics. So not only will you get access to the show, but you'll also be able to suggest what the show could be about for the next month or two. So thank you very much to new patron Jason Vines. Your support means a lot to me. All right, let's talk about the Antloids. Antloids are kind of what they sound like. Name sounds like ants, and they are giant ants. They're not unlike the ant, giant. Well, conceptually, they're not unlike the ant, giant from AD&D, but they're rather different in terms of their application. And just like you might expect, they have specialized subtypes. So this entry covers four types. We've got the queen, the worker, the soldier, and the dynamis, which is a kind of psionic antloid. What that means is that we have now covered 10 monsters in 6 pages, 11 monsters, something like that, which one of my complaints about the Monstrous Manual was that it wasn't a very efficient way of presenting monster information. So it's quite long, but it has a much narrower selection of monsters than the original Monster Manual. And so far, anyway, Dark Sun has been quite different from that. And I think that's partly because it's trying to present an entire new ecology, right? This is almost a setting book. Although, having said that, I know there are other creatures. Listeners have pointed out that there are other creatures in the Dark Sun books themselves, but I haven't had a chance to look at those yet. So we have four specialized subtypes, and in keeping with the overall high-threat Dark Sun approach, I believe Dark Sun character creation starts you a good deal tougher than an ordinary AD&D 2nd Edition PC, and Antloids are pretty tough. Even the lowly worker comes in at a comfortable 3-hit dice. Speaking of the lowly worker, these guys are just what you think they should be. They are humble, regular Joe Antloids. They don't normally fight. They will only do this in an absolute emergency, like when an Antloid queen is threatened, or if someone tries to interfere with them carrying out their job, and normally they carry things from one place to another. So if you try to take a thing they're carrying back to the Antloid nest, then they'll fight you, but otherwise they're just trying to do their jobs and they just want to be left alone. Rather more threatening are the soldiers. These are big guys. They are 10 feet long. That's 3 meters for my metric listeners. And they are divided into infantry and archers. So infantry can hit you with a poisonous stinger on their abdomens, while the archer lacks a stinger but can spit a stream of poison. Very interestingly, there's a system explanation for how the poison rules work, which would be so standard. Like, it's so how poison would normally work, or how a spray attack of this type would normally work in 3rd edition and later, that it was very odd to me that it was explained here. It also says that you can die even if you've made your save, if the reduced damage from the save reduces your hit points to 0, which, I mean, yeah. So that was a fun little historical thing to see. Soldiers do, you know, soldier stuff, like raiding for food or protecting the warren from intruders. And if you're invading an Antloid warren for whatever reason, soldiers are the ones that you'll mainly be fighting, and they are pretty tough, so I wouldn't like to fight a whole bunch of them. Overseeing the soldiers and coordinating them in the warren are the dynamis antloids. They are weird-looking antloids with large brains housed in their central body segments, and they stay in telepathic communication with one another because they are, like a lot of Athasian creatures, psionic. And they use this ability to coordinate antloids. So you could be fighting some antloids in one part of the warren and you think we're just going to have to deal with these guys. But what you don't know is that that dynamis there is communicating with the other dynamis in other parts of the hive, and reinforcements are on the way. In addition, one of their psionic powers allows them to set up a death field. And they can make this field, I guess, bigger and more deadly if more of them are doing it. So a bunch of them will get together to generate this field, which increases the amount of damage that you take from the poison attacks of the soldiers. So they are actually using their powers tactically because they're a bit more intelligent, right? Soldiers tend to just attack whatever's in front of them, but with the dynamis around, they can be made much more effective and coordinated more effectively, which means that even though it's the soldiers that are doing the damage to you, what you really want to do is identify that it's the dynamis that's instructing them and setting up the conditions that make them so dangerous and take out that guy. Basically, they're kind of officers and supervisors of the hive. Finally, we have the queen. The queen is, you know, the queen. She's the antloid that lays the eggs. She is attended by soldiers and by juvenile queens. And we're told that sometimes a dynamis may break away and take a juvenile queen to go set up a different hive, which is interesting. I'm sort of seeing the dynamis as the counselor or vizier of the queen, where the queen is like nominally in charge of the warren, but actually maybe the dynamis are making the decisions. That's interesting. One of the queen's abilities is to emit a pheromone cloud. It can either attract soldiers to come and mate with her, which is part of what soldiers do in the hive, or it can create disorientation and hallucination. So if you're affected by this pheromone, you might like believe that you're drowning, for instance. And these hallucinations are so realistic that you can, in fact, actually die. We also get a little detail here about what antloid warrens themselves are like. You know, some stuff about the kind of ecology of the antloid, and the suggestion that you might have a dungeon which is an abandoned antloid warren. So antloids might leave an area because it doesn't have enough food or enough water, or if they've exhausted the resources, and they'll move to go set up a new warren, but the warren will remain, although kind of like partly caving in and falling apart. You know, if it's not being regularly maintained by the workers, it'll be a little bit less stable, but a lot of it will still be there, and other opportunistic inhabitants might move in, which I thought was a fun idea. An abandoned anthill structure being moved into by some other monster, or, you know, used by bandits to bury their treasure or whatever. I think, you know, that's a cute little detail. The antloids are interesting to me because basically they're nothing new. You could infer a lot of things about the antloids from just being told that they are giant ant-like monsters, right? You could probably figure out poison, maybe even shooting poison. Are there ants that do that? There's definitely beetles. You'd think there was a queen, you'd think there were different castes, etc. You probably wouldn't get the dynamis, but if you knew Dark Sun, you might say, well, and of course, since it's Dark Sun, some of them will be psionic. So on the face of it, there's nothing terribly original about the antloids. But what they are is well done. Like, I think they have a good level of the kind of information one wants for such a creature. We do get some ecological information. You know, I thought of a lot of the ecological information in the Monstrous Manual as extraneous. There was less of it in Dark Sun, but yet it also seems less extraneous because this is a setting that is so concerned with ecology. A thought to be tested as we go through this book. Dark Sun is a setting designed to make some of the tropes of late AD&D make sense. I wouldn't care to defend that proposition right now, but I'm keeping it in mind. The antloids are a simple concept, well executed, four different types of them delivered in two pages, two illustrations, not bad. So the other day I was trying to buy some vegan Christmas treats because my wife Allison is vegan. So I went to this market that's close to our house that's very kind of like Whole Foodsy and all that kind of thing. Lots of fair trade things, and you know, you can fill up your container with pasta and not have any excess packaging. Like, it's a lot of good ideas. Anyway, I went in there, and while I was there, I bought a loaf of nice bread. I hadn't bought the fancy bread from the nice bakery in a while. And it's just really nice. I was having some toast this morning, and I just thought, it's just a lovely chew on this bread. It's, you know, it's just bread, but it's pretty good. It's not my favorite bread ever, but it's better than your ordinary bread. This is a very long roundabout way of saying that that's kind of how I feel about the antloids. I mean, they're still just ants, comma, giant, but they've just put a little extra work into them. And I think that's visible. You know, they got a nice little bit of extra chew on them. And I gotta say, so far, Dark Sun, doing pretty good. All right, Well, that is about all the Antloids we have time for today. We've also almost come to the end of the Monster Man year, so our next episode is going to be the holiday special, and I hope that you will join me then, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. In our next episode, we'll be doing another listener request special, and in the episode after that, we'll be back in the sands of Athas looking at more Dark Sun monsters. So I hope that you will join me for both of those, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, and is used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.